I'm Cloudette, and this is Cloud, Coffee and Code.
All right, hello and welcome. And this is our, I believe it's our fifth, maybe sixth installment of our happy hour that we've been putting together since this whole coronavirus. Since we can't meet in person, we can't do marketing events and all that fun stuff, we thought, hey, why not put together a virtual happy hour? And so I've been trying to bring you guys some key members of the industry and trying to get people that I believe would be interesting to interview. And who's more interesting and a good person to interview than Heather Parody? And so Heather, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for coming on. I've been really excited to talk with you. I know we put our short list together to say who would we want to have on, and your name was definitely on my short list. So first, thanks for coming on and welcome.
I'm honored. I'm so excited to hang out with you guys. And this is a fun topic, not coronavirus, but entrepreneurship. So it's going to be good.
Yeah. So first, unconventional leaders, that's your podcast, right? And I know there's so much more to it than just a podcast, and I promise mm-hmm. we'll get into that. But yeah, entrepreneurship. So, and small business. So, we're a small business, right? We're a woman-owned small business. There's about six of us. And so we've been through that up and down curve, the terrifying first year, 18 months, 2 years, 10 years, whatever it is, right? We've been through that. And so we have a soft spot for us. And so I know that you every day interview people and talk to people who are helping small businesses get through that scary part and get through that, you know, jet takeoff, right? You hear a lot of people say that, you know, a jet, right, uses most of its gas to get off the ground, right? And that's a lot equates to entrepreneurship and small business. And so, you know, in getting off the ground, what are some of the stories that you've covered? Some fun stories about people and they're starting off. And then, you know, also I wanted to kind of talk to you, you know, and get that question of what are some of the first steps that people can take to get themselves off the ground and propelled into the air?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously every industry is so different of kind of the tactical, how do you do this? But I think one underlying theme that I've been super curious about and the premise of the show, Unconventional Leaders, is, you know, usually in adversity, some kind of difficult situation, like we're pressed to be innovative and creative. You can kind of see, like right now with the coronavirus, it's putting us in a position with, like, you guys, you know, you're not doing these marketing events, you're like, well, let's do this series online, and kind of pushing yourself outside of the box a little bit to innovate. And often a result of that is success or a different way to approach something that leads to success later on. And so the original idea of the show is, you know, let's celebrate what makes us different and also what we might view originally as an adversity, because sometimes those are the biggest catalysts for the biggest change in a good way in our businesses and also just our pursuits. We have a lot of people listening to the show who aren't necessarily, quote, entrepreneurs, but they're entrepreneurial in their art and their craft. So it's an interesting conversation to have, I think, too, with this coronavirus situation. You know, there's been so much tragedy that's happened, but there's also been so much innovation and birth of amazing ideas, resourcefulness, and businesses also just setting themselves up to scale in a new way that they didn't necessarily have the time, energy, or thought to do before.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you brought up innovation. Right, because that's one thing that that's been a constant theme of this show, what we've been talking about, and as well as I mean, I don't know if you can really compare everything that's been going on to any other time in history, but we'll try. And so like the recession, for instance, was if you go back and look at some of the companies, small businesses and startups that came out of the recession, it's unbelievable the amount of big names that you'll find that came out of the recession. And so that's where I have the point where if you're not innovating during this type of time, then you're missing a giant opportunity. And so I guess the question to you would be, what are some of the things that small businesses Like, should this be a time of fear for a small business? So should we step back and say, we'll wait until this thing has passed? Or should we, or what ways can we look at this as an opportunity to grow a small business or become an entrepreneur? You know, so when people have lost their primary source of income. So a lot of us have been forced into entrepreneurship. So how do you look at it? I know that you just kind of touch on it a little bit, but what is a good frame of mind to take a look at this and spin it towards entrepreneurship?
Sure. So I kind of look at most things not as an either or, but a yes and. And so when we're talking about like human emotions, like fear and panic and all that, I used to be a therapist, so I can't like deny all of that stuff. I have like deep empathy for that because it's so real. And so instead of saying, you know, should we be afraid or not, we're afraid, period. Like we can't really help how we may feel. What we can do is ask ourselves, how can I shift this energy into something productive? And so this fear and panic and dread, when we notice that presence, we can again use that as a driving force because it's a powerful force. I mean, if you think about if you're afraid of something, you know, that's going to move you to action. So if we kind of reframe that in our minds of like, oh my God, my business could go over, how can we shift that energy to say, oh man, this business could go under. What can I do right now? How can I change and shift and pivot and do some things that I was afraid to do before? Is this a time to make those changes? If you're serious about your work, yeah, if you want to be in the game long enough. And sometimes it means letting go of a lot of stuff. Our identities are wrapped around our businesses, our products, our services, the way grandma and grandpa did it before, and really adapt to what's needed right now. And so I'm not saying, you know, persevere through and make, you know, be stubborn through it. Sometimes we need to let go of a certain model and embrace something else. But if you want to be a business owner, if this is your calling, yes, this is the time to step up. There are so many people I've talked to, this has been the most busy they've ever been. I just had an email right before this call, someone who is in RVs and pools and stuff like that, and they had a huge cut. I mean, in April, 75% loss. But he said, you know what? This month has been insane. It's like been one of the, you know, biggest weeks they've had in a really long time, even prior to all this, because it's coming back. And so, all that to say, like, I don't want to, you know, disregard what's happening, but I also too think that what you said earlier, you know, great leaders are born in difficult times. And I loved that quote.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I felt like I'm beating a dead horse, but that's it.
No, and so I've did a little research on you, and I know that you're kind of an inspirational for these entrepreneurs, and you give a very positive vibe. You know, during this time, there comes the concern of mental health, and I know you have a little background in mental health. Can you kind of shed light on how this has affected people and the way to, I guess, bring a positive light on?
Yeah, so the opportunity within mental health is for leaders, business owners to bring in community and foster tribe. Exactly like what you guys are doing. This isn't just, you know, people disregard content. It's like, oh, that's nice content. But content is something that brings people together and helps them feel seen and helps them feel a part of something bigger and greater. I can see your logo all day long, but me seeing both of your faces right now and your background and that jersey in the back and the guitar, like it humanizes you and makes me like you and trust you and want to get to know you more. And what we need right now from a mental health perspective is security. And so brands and businesses can come in and be like an anchor for people who are really struggling. So an example of this is there's so many people doing this and we adopted it within our community is these Zoom calls. You know, you post a link on Facebook and people can join these Zoom calls live. We've been doing it every day for about 30 days now, Saturday, Sunday, every single day, and people are coming into our Zoom rooms and talking for hours and just building tribe and community. It was really interesting because prior to this, I was really, how do we build stronger tribe? How do we build stronger community? And then this hits and it's like, dude, we're like rock solid right now of relationship building and all of that. So from a mental health perspective, I think that's the greatest need right now is we don't necessarily need to give people answers to anything. They just don't want to feel alone during this.
Yeah, right. I mean, for that, like just having the human interaction and seeing somebody's face, you may not be able to touch them, but like you get to read their gestures and their facial expressions, then it's so important to have that interaction.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So that gets into some of the things that I've asked every member who's come onto our show, and there's a wide variety of answers. No right or wrong answer, of course, but it's just there's the way that we've all changed during this time, right? I wanted you to just kind of elaborate a little bit more on some of the Zoom calls and some of the ways that you've taken advantage of the situation. I know this is a horrible thing that we're all going through, right? But there are positive changes that we're all making in ways that, even if it's just reaching out and, you know, like I call my mom more on video now, right? Uh-huh. Something that I never did prior to this.
Right.
And internally, we're all turning our videos on, and we're having happy hours, and we're doing so I know you just mentioned the Zoom calls, but what are some ways that you're reaching out and innovating during this time?
Sure. So I don't have like the bandwidth to be able to join all of these calls and do all of these things. And this is also a time to empower your people to take bigger leadership roles and facilitate conversations. So we've built out a small team underneath, you know, Unconventional Leaders, where everybody has like a day and a time and they can go in and facilitate conversations. And I pop in and out and show support and stuff, but really trusting people to lead these. And from a scalability standpoint, you know, we're able to reach way more people because since I can't do every single day, somebody on our group can. And also workshops. We've been doing a lot of free workshops, tons and tons of free workshops. And I've had a few clients, you know, doing free workshops and just, you know, not pitching, not anything at the end. And they're getting coaching clients from that because, you know, that relationship building is there and all of that. I interviewed someone a couple weeks ago and they said something so beautiful. They said, we're going to remember the generous brands. It was Joy McAdams, beautiful human, find her on LinkedIn. But she said, we will remember the generous brands during this time. And so, you know, a lot of times our minds are going like, oh, well, you know, how's this moving the needle right now? Relationships move the needle, you know? And so use this time to build relationships. And not that, you know, I hate having to preference everything, but, you know, like we genuinely care about people and it's not just, oh, what did they buy from me? But in the same sense, like, you know, people need it right now. They need relationships. We have a little bit more of the time and, you know, the eyeballs are there. So why not do, you know, dig in some deep roots? So yeah, workshops, coffee chats. Also too, from like a content creator's perspective, there's so many more people willing to come on the show and collaborate that weren't before. Like I've had so many more yeses to collaborations, which has been huge for me because you mentioned earlier, you know, Unconventional Leaders is more than just a podcast. Yes. But honestly, that's my baby. Like that's the reason I do everything else is because of that show. So that's been huge for me just on like a personal note.
That's great. And what got you into podcasting? Like what inspired you? Was there someone who inspired you to do that?
Yeah, so I love the idea of content marketing. I think it's just the coolest resource because you can literally have no resources at all and build something amazing if you have some courage and an iPhone. It's just phenomenal. So I started blogging at first in grad school, but I hated writing. I was like the worst speller in the world. Like people would like DM me and be like, you know, your whole blog, I can't even read it. I don't even know what it says, you know? So I'm like, so I'm a big proponent of lean into your strengths. What are you good at? And talking, I was a therapist. I mean, so talking and asking hard questions is like really easy for me. So yeah, that's really the whole idea of it. And also, I listened to so many podcasts that changed my life. Content can change you, dude. Like authors, podcasts, some stuff, it'll rock your world. So I wanted a part of that game.
Yeah. So yes. building off of that, what are some of your favorite podcasts? What are some of the ones that inspired you to do this? Not to put you on the spot or anything like that, right?
Lewis Howes originally was the reason I got into podcasting. That was one of the first podcasts that I listened to. Since then, it's evolved into a whole bunch of different shows. I listen to a lot of entrepreneurial shows. I listen to a lot of creative and entertainment podcasts, mostly because I think they understand human psychology on another level. Connection and humor and the way that we can tell a story, I think is just completely fascinating. And I think as a business owner, that's something we really need to pay attention to is artists and creatives, how they move people and figure out how that can apply to our copy, our marketing, the way we interview, all of that stuff is all placed together.
Yeah, your story is the more that I've looked. I mean, obviously, we're LinkedIn friends, so I see your content and I see your posts and everything. But the more that I looked into you have a very interesting story with the counseling and the mental health and that the way that kind of led you to where you are. I mean, that background is really unique, and I think that gets into some of the what you preach a lot is. Everybody has their own individual story, right? You have your own hardships or heartaches or whatever has led you to where you're at, right? And so what was the choice for you like to take it from counseling to go like what?
Terrible. It was the worst. It was so hard, man, because it's like, you know, entrepreneurs, it's like, ooh, that's so cool. But actually, it's like the scariest thing in the world because completely unknown, you know, it's throwing away security for maybe this will work out, you know. Right. And so it wasn't as fun, as glamorous or as anything. Like right now I'm seeing fruit. But that this is, I'm still a baby in it. I'm only 3.5 years in, which is nothing compared to you know, people have been in the game. It's a toddler in business. So I'm a toddler. But I'm just now starting to see things move and stuff. The first, when I turned down, I had 2 job offers, got my license and all that. I bawled my eyes out. I was like, I'm so stupid. What's wrong with me? I'm 30 years old. Why can't I just be a grown up? You know what I mean? And but it was one of those things where it's like, if you ever have like this doubt, like at the end of my life, am I going to wonder, what if I had just tried? You know what I mean? And that's like the biggest thing I'm afraid of. I might completely fail at this. It is possible, but I don't want to look back and say, you know, what if I just tried for a few years? Why not?
Right. Yeah. What that what if, you know, yeah. that because I come from a similar story. I mean, we all have our own stories and we're all different. Mm-hmm. But I didn't go to school for technology and everything that I'm doing now, right? I studied people and communication, and I thought that body language, and I thought that was going to be like where, and then you get that bug, you know, you get that entrepreneurship bug where you're just like, I could, and all of your thoughts are like, this is the safe route. Take this. This is what you went to school for. This is where, you know, then it does. And then for whatever reason, you get this crazy calling to do something completely different, and it's terrifying. And so that's where that first question I asked you, where I said, you know, what advice do you have on for somebody entrepreneur who's starting this? There's no owner's manual for anything that we do, you know.
And that's what attracts us, because we're like, oh, freedom, all that can be, you know. But then at the end, we're like, why won't anybody tell me what to do? It's so hard, you know. So it's like the yin yang of that. It's really difficult.
It is. And so you get into the online resources, right? So you have the podcasts, you have the videos, you have the inspirational. Members out there, you have the books. I noticed that you had Seth Godin on your show, which is Seth Godin is like, ask anybody in my marketing department if you haven't read a Seth Godin Purple Cow, then you know, just get out, kind of, you know, like, I mean, that's how I've took in everything, right? I love Purple Cow, and that's so cool that you had Seth on. And so yeah, I really have to think outside the box and be crazy, and I love the online resources. And so I guess the my rambling has led to the academy that you've put together, right? Yeah. What was your idea behind the academy and then this whole online change that we're all going through, right? How do you see the academy growing through this online platform that we're all kind of been forced into?
Well, I was fortunate enough where, you know, I was doing this work before the pandemic. And so my life didn't change that much. But what happened was is just more people got curious, like, you know, how come, you know, what are you doing? Like people who really disregarded the online space prior started paying more attention. And so stuff like the academy and stuff is really what we've been doing all along. It's just figuring out how can we reach people more effectively who, you know, won't be able to afford working with somebody one-on-one and maybe do it more in a group setting. The kind of bigger picture piece to that is I just think there's so many good people with awesome ideas. Ideas are easy. There's just not a lot of execution on it. And sometimes we use the excuse, you know, there's like this big tech gap in it and all of that. And things aren't as difficult as they may seem. It's just a lot of courage. I was going to use a different word. A lot of courage in it and consistency, you know. So really, whenever you find that environment, you know, where other people are doing it alongside of you, a lot of times that's the catalyst for a lot more movement. We move in packs and tribes a lot easier sometimes than we do solo. And entrepreneurship is lonely, especially when people don't understand what the hell you're doing, you know. So that's really the premise of the academy, while we do mastermind groups and all that, because the knowledge is there. You can Google just about anything outside of brain surgery, you know what I mean? But why aren't we taking more action? I think it's really a tribal piece, affirmation. We need to feel like, hey man, like this is good, what you're doing is right, like keep going, all of that. So that's really the intention of the work we do there.
That's great. And so what are some ways that small businesses who weren't deemed essential during this time, that were close to being profitable, that can remain profitable, like restaurants, spas,
education? Education. Like, you can teach somebody something and people will pay you for it. You know what I mean? Like, even the things that we disregard is not that important. Someone will pay you for it. It's insane. So thinking about what do people come to me about most often, like in a form of a question, and how can I build small products around that? I'm working with an acting studio right now and very successful, but they've done everything in person. The studio's huge, everybody comes in person, but now this hits, and like she didn't even have an email list. She didn't even like understand like email lists and all that. And so if you think about it, it can be like, oh man, or it can be, what is the biggest question that actors come to you about? How do I break into the industry later on in life? Make a video series on that, put a small price point on it, build an email list from there. I mean, even if everything goes back to normal tomorrow, you still are building a scalable business model on the outside of that that's going to help you reach more people, make more money, and God forbid anything like this happened again, set you up for, you know, some kind of extra stream of income. So exploring, you know, it doesn't have to be all full out courses and all that. Sometimes those are really overwhelming, but I mean, it could be Zoom calls. You can put a charge on that. You can do mastermind groups, coaching, anything that is thinking about from an educational standpoint. And also too, just getting away a little bit from maybe what you traditionally teach and do. I mean, I was on the call with somebody the other day. She has a very successful six-figure business, but she's like, I want to be creative and create some art. And I'm like, well, this is the freaking time to do it. You know what I mean? Like, explore this stuff. Why not? You have nothing to lose. You know what I mean? Nothing to lose, unless you just sit around, don't do anything, and maybe just some regret later. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The first step's the hardest, right? I mean, it's getting the courage to take that first step and to say, you know what, I'm going to do it. Cause you're right. You touched on it. And you said, we all have ideas, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody who's listening to this or out there or anywhere, right?
Yeah.
We all have this, oh, this is my $1 million idea. This is it. This is the one. And then taking that first step is terrifying. But I know that, you probably had the same feeling as you remember day one. Right? Mm-hmm. That first day when you cut and you left your old life, right? And you stepped into an office, whether it was at home or it's just a computer, and it was your own. And you remember that feeling where you're like, this is it. And you have that adrenaline rush and you take it from there. And so I love that. And it's all about being consistent, right? You've mentioned that a few times, and I'm on your site right now and I see what confident, clear, consistent, right? Mm-hmm. Consistency is the key to anything that you do, right? If it's content, make sure you're putting out consistent content, right? If it's you're going to take the next step in life, you know, it's making sure you're consistent in whatever it is that you're doing. And I know that we're on the 4-minute warning here. But my question, I guess, there is just in terms of content, in terms of just kind of putting a bow on everything that you've talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Is how important is consistency? And we've both said it, you don't see results right away, right? But
no.
And so how important is that consistency? And any words of encouragement to those who are maybe it 6 months seems like a long time to be doing something, but in the grand scheme of things, it's very small, right?
If you can't be consistent for 6 months, don't do this. Yes. And I know maybe there's something more nicer and more encouraging I can say, but that is the kindest thing I can say to you is if you can't be consistent for 6 months, then you're not supposed to do this, period. And that's okay. Like, have an honest conversation with yourself. There's always like, what should I do? What should I do this? Should I do that? Everybody's saying you should. What do you want? What do you want with your life? You know what I mean? Like, do you want to build a brand? Do you want to have your own business? Do you want to build an audience? Is that what you really want? Because if you really want it, then you're going to, you're going to screw up and you're not going to, I do it all the time. Daily, weekly basis, I'm screwing up on something. Hourly. But I pick up and I start again. You know what I'm saying? So it's not about perfection. It's about, you're going to say, Heather, are you going to quit? Hell no. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way, because I want it. You know what I mean? But people who sit there and struggle, like, oh, you know, that tells me that's not what you want. And there's no shame in that. Like, just be honest with yourself. Ask yourself, if no one was looking, what would I do? Because so many of us are making decisions based off of what people we don't even like, their opinion of us. And I can't tell you how many conversations I had. I wrote a statement down the other day. It was this button-up dude from LinkedIn, and he was like, man, I just really want to do this and this and this, but the professional me and the real me is so different. Yeah. And it just broke my heart so much because I get that. But also, too, you have one freaking life, man. Like, you have one life, and, like, what do you want to live? And so be honest with yourself. What do I want outside of all of this stuff? And live in integrity with that. And it's going to be easy to be consistent with whatever that is.
I love that. That's great. And that, what a way to end the conversation with on that.
I got upset. My heart started pounding a little bit. I'm so passionate about this.
I love it. I love it. You know, I've surrounded myself with all kinds of, you know, it's really easy to go onto Instagram to type in hashtag entrepreneur and you see everybody in their, you know, Lamborghinis or their whatever. And you see this like glorified entrepreneur life. And after 6 months, you're like, holy crap, I'm broke. I'm in debt. The creditors are calling. What is going on? What was I thinking? And, you know, to persevere through that, what you said is head on. And so outside of this, to love, you know, I love what you've been saying. And so how can people learn more? How can people hear your podcast? How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I'm at Heather Parody everywhere. I've been hanging out on TikTok a lot lately. It's like, I love it right now. So find me, Unconventional Leaders, wherever you listen to podcasts. But my biggest ask is that you would just connect with Courtney and Roy and support this work and get behind whatever they're doing, because putting out content is not the easiest thing. This is a labor of love. So mad respect to both of you for spearheading this initiative, and I think it's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. And yeah, guys, check her out, Heather Parody, heatherparody.com. Her podcast's awesome. She's got a lot of big names. You've interviewed just about everybody I've ever wanted to talk to. I swear.
Not everybody, man. There's Gary Vee. I got to interview Gary Vee.
Yeah, that's right. You got to get Gary Vee. I will. You'll get him. You'll get him soon. You will. You're doing great things. Well, thanks, Heather, so much. Guys, check her out, heatherparody.com. Until next week, guys. Next week, we are going to be talking more entrepreneurship. We're going to be talking about more, hopefully not more coronavirus. Hopefully, we can get this thing to a tail end and see an end. But Heather, again, thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you guys next week.
Cool.